And now, The Life of Mary Sutton. Gerald Proust has told Dr. John Denton that Denton's support of Mary Sutton might anger the town, not against Denton, but against Mary Sutton. Proust's likely sounding theory is merely part of his plan to isolate Mary from her friends, so that he can more easily acquire her controlling stock in the Sanders interest, which she is holding for her imprisoned husband, Max. But Denton, anxious for Mary's welfare, told her he must cease befriending her. Then, seeing Mary's desperate need for friendship, and remembering his pledge to her husband to stand by Mary in any event, Denton decided to defy Proust. This in spite of Mary, who knows that Proust has threatened Benson vaguely with loss if Benson did not abandon Mary. It is the next day. Dr. John Benson, coldly determined, is waiting in his office for Gerald Proust's arrival and expecting the worst.
Yeah? Come in, please.
Oh. Good evening, Dr. Benson.
Good evening. Oh. Good evening, Bruce. Sit down, please.
I hear something, Dr. Benson. I don't know why I should have to come to your office every time we have an interview like this.
Let me get this straight, Mr. Bruce. It was you who wanted my decision about a certain matter, was it not?
That's right. What does that have to do with my coming here?
Well, I have something that interests you. I have a commodity, a service. My decision to sell you. Now, this is my office, a store, and I have no delivery service.
Oh?
You told me that my interest in Mary Sanders might react unfavorably upon her, Miss Ruth.
I told you in all conscience what I actually believe. You're a physician here in high standing. And Mary Sanders is, after all, the wife of Max Sanders.
Yes, yes, yes. I know all about that. Max Sanders wanted to betray the town into the hands of a lot of gamblers, etc., etc.
At least that is why Max Sanders was convicted.
The truth, I confess, I saw some logic in your very humane contention that Mary Sanders would be further looked upon as a scheming woman if I extended the friendship toward her.
Of course, Doctor, strong though your position is in this town, it may not be quite, shall we say, invulnerable.
I am more than aware, Mr. Truth, that the clean target is a tempting one to mudslingers.
Come, come now. We want it from the point, and we're both busy men, and hope to remain so. Isn't that so?
You want my decision concerning Mary Sanders?
Yes. We've nothing else to discuss, have we?
But doesn't this strike you as rather strange? You pretend to be interested only in Mary Sanders' welfare in this matter of my friendship for her.
Well, so I am. So I am.
Well, that's a casual interest, which is all your interest could be at the very best. Demand decision?
Well, then, sir, if you'd really like to know...
Oh, no, no, that's all right. I shouldn't have even brought it up. I told you before, I had no illusions about your feelings toward Mary and Max Sanders. You wanted to see him in prison. You wanted his power here shattered, and you hoped to gain control of the Sanders' interest. To that end, you wanted Mary Sanders' stock in the interest.
Is that any concern of yours, Doctor?
As Mary Sanders' friend, and having promised Max to defend her interest, it is my concern, Miss Bruce.
You mean it has been your concern?
I think I know what I mean, Miss Bruce. It has been my concern as a good friend and advisor, and it shall continue to be my concern.
You mean that...
I mean that I've made my decision. I don't intend to forsake Mary Sanders now.
Well, that is final, is it?
Quite final.
All right. I accept your decision.
Thank you. You make things very easy for me.
Do I now, indeed? Do I? Well, perhaps not as easy as you suppose, Benson.
Dr. Benson, you don't mind.
You're proud of that little vanity, aren't you? That Dr. Benson. Dr. Benson.
Yes, I am. Do you mind very much?
Gets you places, doesn't it? People look up to you. They even appoint you head of a children's clinic. Well, Dr. Benson, nobody is indispensable, no matter how successful and prominent and valuable a man may be. He can be got along without.
I see. You're inferring, I suppose, that the Sanders Hospital can get along without me.
If necessary.
Aren't you going a little beyond your depth, Mr. Proust?
Not at all. I know what I'm talking about. What's so easily done is just as easily undone.
What do you mean, Proust?
Mr. Proust, if you don't mind, Doctor. You see, I'm sensitive about titles, too.
I want to know what you meant by the other little remark.
I give you one more chance to change your mind about Mary Sanders. Do you or do you not withdraw your assistance to her?
Proust, if you weren't an older man,
I... Do you or don't you?
I do not.
Very well. Head of the children's clinic, eh? We'll see about that. We shall certainly see about that.
Goodbye, Miss Proust.
Keep still, please. Yes, Doctor.
I said goodbye, Mr. Bruce.
Huh. Oh, yes. The doctor, then. Goodbye. But I think I may give you some reason to remember this interview.
Do your worst, Bruce.
On the contrary, Doctor, I shall do my best. Goodbye.
You'll do your best. Very nice. Well. Hello, Miss Miller. Will you get Mrs. Mary Sanders on the wire and find out if she'll be home another half hour? Oh, no, I don't want to speak to her now. Just tell her I'm going over. Tell her it's very important.
I was just getting ready to go shopping when Miss Miller called, John. She said you were coming over, so I waited for you.
I didn't want to say what I had to say over the telephone, that's all, Mary.
Oh, something serious?
Well, probably not, Mary. On the other hand, I'm never sure. It's something I don't want to run any chances about.
Something that happened in the office? Oh, Cheryl, too.
Yeah, she's pretty definitely something that happened. Yeah, Cheryl Cruz.
You told him?
Oh, we exchanged confidences. I told him, and he told me.
Well, what, John? What did he say?
Nothing, Mary. Nothing. Nothing.
John, what's he going to do?
I don't know. But I think he's after my job as head of children's clinic.
After all your work? Oh, John, you can't do that, can you?
Not as I at first, I hope. Roland Davis is influential with the clinic board. I'm going to telephone him, Mary.
But, John, what can you say to him?
I honestly don't know. I'll think on my feet when I get him. Excuse me.
Oh, wait, John. Wait, hang on.
Huh?
John, before you call Merlin Davis, why don't you have a talk with Max? I know Davis always opposed Max, but I think Max would still have a lot of influence with him. He knows how to handle proof, and he could make some kind of a deal or something. I'm sure of it, John.
It might be worth trying, just as an additional precaution. When can we visit him?
Well, we'll have to phone the warden for special permission for two people to visit Max.
All right, then. Outside.
Oh.
Hello. Long-distance operator, please. I'm not at all sure of this Merlin Davis fellow, Mary. Yeah, that won't hurt.
Mm.
Hello, long-distance. I want to speak to the warden at the state penitentiary in the capital, please. Yeah, I'll hold on.
John, if anything happens to you because of me, I'll never forgive myself.
Well, nothing has happened. I don't think anything will happen. Truth is bluffing. I think. Hello. Say what? There's no answer. But that's impossible, operator. Well, of course I answer. Well, keep on ringing him and call me back, will you? Thanks. What nonsense. Say, penitentiary doesn't answer.
Well, maybe the warden's out of his office, sir.
Oh, there's always someone around. It's like a hotel. That way, ironically enough, I guess. Ah, here we are now. That was fast. Hello. Who? Yeah. Yeah, this is Dr. John Benson. What? Say that again.
John, what is it?
Well, has that been checked? Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, of course I'll come. At once. Goodbye. Mary, that was the newspaper calling. There's a call out for every available doctor. Mary, the state penitentiary is in flames.
No wonder the warden's office didn't answer. The warden doesn't answer today. How many, we wonder, will not answer roll call tomorrow?